Good morning, everybody. It is Friday, the 25th of June, 2021. My name's Larry Jacobs. My allergies are kicking in today, so you can probably hear them in my voice. But I want to welcome you to today's edition of Education Talk Radio, which, as you know, is the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. And that's all over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our home website, and our magazine, Equity and Access, is over there, as well as with the place where we archive every podcast, plus tons of other information. So we welcome you to join with us. Everything we do over there is free at ace-ed.org, and you'll enjoy it. And please share the information with your colleagues. We have a lovely show for you this morning with my good friends from NAESP, the National Association of Elementary School Principals, but they're K-8. All right, actually, I should say pre-K-8, all right? And if you are an administrator in pre-K-8, you're going to have to listen to the show or share it with somebody, okay, so you can get all the information about the upcoming Principals Conference, the National Principals Conference, which is going to take place in Chicago, and we're going to talk about all this in detail. That's in July, and to help us right along, we have Dr. Gracie Branch and Dr. Kaylin Tucker, both, okay, Associate Executive Directors of NAESP. So I'll say hi to Gracie first. Good morning, Gracie. Larry here.
Good morning, Larry.
How are you?
I'm doing great and very excited to be on the show.
I'm very happy to have you here, Gracie. Okay, it's always a pleasure. Okay, thanks for being here. Where are you today? Where are you?
I'm actually in Norman, Oklahoma.
Norman, Oklahoma. So it's a little early. It's 8 in the morning. We appreciate you being here on time. You got coffee in hand?
I have my Hint water in hand. Because
good girl.
We have a lot of allergies out here too, Larry.
Oh, it's driving me nuts this morning. Okay. So excellent. All right, Kaylin, are you there?
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Kaylin. Dr. Tucker, how are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
And where are you today?
I am calling in from Greater Austin, from the Lone Star State.
You guys are very close to each other. You could walk across that state line and say hello, you know. That's very close. I'm just kidding. I know that's too long a walk. But, yeah, Norman, Oklahoma, okay, to Austin. Not so bad. All right, how's life in Austin today? Everything good?
It's doing good. It's you know, every day it gets up to, you know, high 90s, so right now it's still a nice day, but everything's going well there.
Right, this is great, and I thought we weren't going to have him, but he just called in. Andy, are you there?
I'm here, sorry.
I didn't think you were going to be there.
You know, it's a crazy life right now, so just try to hang in there.
Good man, all right? All right, everybody, that's Dr. Andy Jacks, who's a former NAESP National Distinguished Principal. Congratulations. Okay, you're still very active. You're a senior fella. Okay, fellow, okay, which is, I don't like that term anymore. It's very sexist. Fellow. Even girls can become fellow. Women can become fellow. It doesn't make sense anymore. Okay, but you are a senior fellow, and which ladies can become fellows too. Okay, the NAESP Center for Advancing Leadership, and you also, where are you the principal? You brag, Andy Jacks. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a principal at Ashland Elementary School and Prince William County Schools, Northern Virginia. And yes, girls can be fellow women leaders. We have very strong women leaders that are currently fellows in our organization. We're very proud of them, absolutely.
And you should be. I don't know why we call them fellows. Kaylin, what do you think of that? Before we get into this, okay, I'm going to ask Kaylin. Kaylin, you should. Why do we use the term fellow? It doesn't make sense. Like the most happy fellow. Well, it doesn't make sense. We need to change that.
I'm gonna get to the bottom of this, Larry. I'm gonna get to the bottom of it.
Thank you. Okay, Gracie, your thoughts on being a fellow, women becoming fellows? It's ridiculous.
Well, I'm with Kaylin. We'll get to the bottom of it, Larry.
Right. We have to think of another word that allows people to be distinguished without a gender relationship. There you go. Okay, that's all I have to say on that subject. Okay, and Andy, I assume you're done school by now? Manassas?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we're out of school, and now we're into the summer mode of getting ready for next year, although that started probably before school even ended. So,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. And what were you? Were you a hybrid at the end or fully back or what?
We were hybrid, although more and more kids came back every single day. And so we're gearing up for next school year. Yeah, we're gearing up for next school year where everyone will be back full time. We're excited about that.
It looks like
that's what we're doing. Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, the school districts are across the country are planning on that. We're going to talk about this in a minute, okay? The only thing that scares me is this damn variant that's going around right now. And I just want people vaccinated and taking care of themselves, not to let their guard down, et cetera. I hope every school district goes back fully next year. All right? All right. I'm going to go over Gracie, Dr. Branch, okay? Chicago in July is the National Principals Conference, which is going to be live. Am I correct?
That's right, Larry. We're going face-to-face in Chicago in 2 weeks at the Hyatt Regency in Chicago, downtown Chicago.
And how many people are you expecting?
Well, our numbers are growing every day. So we have about 956 registered, and we have exhibitors, and when you
That's
put
great.
All those numbers together, we're over 1,000 people.
That is great, and there will be more as things start to settle in. Is there also a virtual side, Gracie?
There isn't. We are going all live and in person.
Wow. Okay. I have to say, everybody's, how do we say this, dipping their foot in the pool a little bit at a time, and I hope that number grows and grows and grows for you guys. And it's great to see this happening as we try to get back to normal. It's just amazing. Talk about why this, and I'll go over to Kaylin now. Kaylin, this is an important conference for you folks, okay? And I think it has some historical repercussions. What are they?
You're right, Larry. This is our 100th anniversary in 2021.
Wow. Congratulations. And I got to say, you don't look a day over 89. I know you look a day over 89. Congratulations. Right.
Thank you. And that's why we're returning to Chicago, actually.
Right. What do you mean?
That's where we had our first conference.
Oh.
So we're returning to Chicago. So this is a really nice bookend for us.
That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. Okay. And although it won't be virtual synchronous, will people be able to see any of the either events, the vendor hall, or the presentations afterwards, so that they if they can't get there, they can see it at least. What's the plan on that?
I don't think we have any plans. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, was that Gracie? Go ahead,
no,
Gracie.
Go ahead,
it's fine.
Well, I was just going to say, Larry, first of all, Kaylin mentioned our first conference was in Chicago. That was in 1955. We had our first NASP conference, and, of course, in Chicago. But this year, we have a few sessions where some people, we're going to have a live presenter in the room, but some of their team are coming in through Zoom, so we know that's going to happen. But right now we don't have any plans to do any recording, but Kaylin's communications team has done a great job of planning out all of the ways we're going to be communicating information out from the conference. So, Kaylin, you might want to talk about that.
Thank you. Thank you for that segue, but I do have a question. You just said it was the 100th. It's the 100th anniversary, but it's not the 100th conference because the first one was in 1955. Did I hear that correctly, ladies?
Right. It's the 100th anniversary of the beginning of NAESP because we were established in 1921.
Got it, but it's the whatever it is. It said for 1955 was the first national conference
In Chicago.
I got it.
So So we're coming back to celebrate.
Go back to Chicago and have a gyros. That's a gyro for those sandwiches. Okay, I love those things. They're in a deep dish pizza. Okay, Kaylin, how are you communicating everything out, Almighty Associate Executive Director of Communications?
Well, for us, Twitter is one of our biggest outlets. So if you're not following NAESP, you need to at NAESP. And then you can also follow along on the hashtag at hashtag NAESP21. You can also come to our website where we'll be having daily updates, and that's NAESP.org.
Good enough. And people have to do that. What day does the conference start?
July 7th. July 7th, we're starting with pre-conference. And then it really gets started on July 8th.
Great. Okay, and it'll go for what, 3 days?
Yep, July 8th through. Gracie, what's the ending day, the 10th?
The 10th.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Andy, you going to be there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm helping do a pre-conference with Jessica Cabine beforehand for assistant principals. We've got sessions going out throughout the week, so look for the NASP booth, exchange, our Centers for Advancing Leadership will be presenting. It'll be a great time because not only is there great information being shared and professional learning, but the connections. And you asked about the sort of historical significance. I think there's a sort of different historical significance as well coming back from this whole coronavirus piece we've been going
get
through.
Into that.
Pulling people together and bringing people together, especially school leaders. We've been through the grinder, and pulling back together is sort of the core of what we need now more than ever.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, Andy, did you find this past year, this past 18 months was a horror show, okay, for educators as well as everyone else, okay? Did you find that you were networking more and more with your fellow principals across the country, not only in Manassas?
Absolutely, and not just networking for sort of like personal reasons and for sort of support, but also for real meaningful strategies. You know, there is times, especially across a big group of principals here in this area, where we were like, I don't even know what to do for this. So what are you doing? What are you doing? And and we started creating some shared collaborative sort of ideas that came to sort of fruition altogether. And that was something that we've been doing that, but now it's just so glaringly needed that it really helped us move forward. That I think will still last after this. So it's in a weird way, it was that forced collaboration has really been helpful for us.
Yeah, and I mean, what you just said is so accurate. We always networked with our fellow colleagues, with our colleagues. Okay, we'll go with the word fellow again. All right, and we've always done that, but when the pandemic hit, it opened our eyes to things that we were all lacking, if I may. Okay, and we had to get around this, all right, and make it all work and make it all happen. And the fact, and this is a key thing. And actually, you're the communications director, Kaylin. Okay, this is interesting. You know, we talk about communications between and to all your membership of NAESP, NAESP.org, everybody. Okay, during the pandemic, and how that shaped, if I may, what you're doing at the conference. If you can answer that question in less than 2 minutes, you get another doctorate from the University of Larry. So, congratulations.
Okay, let me put my timer on, Larry. I just want to echo what my friend Andy said, that during this pandemic, we really amplified a lot of what we were already doing with communications. So we were already doing Twitter chats, we were already doing Zoom meetings, but they just took on a different urgency. And so they did. And so we were doing weekly a Zoom meetup called Principling in Place. And get that in place because everybody was, you know, at home.
Yes.
But
yes.
The principals were still doing their jobs from where they were, and it just took off and had tremendous, tremendous impact of people not feeling isolated. And like what Andy said, is that they were really coming together to figure out, well, how am I going to do these new, handle these new problems, new challenges that are coming up you know, daily, weekly.
Yep.
So
yep.
really it just amplified what we've already had in place. And so even when you think about the events of January 6th, we were able to capitalize on the systems that we had already set up. So we were able to come together, you know, pretty much immediately. Was it that day, Andy?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was the next day
wow.
that had a little bit of a town hall so that principals could talk about
wow.
What they needed to be able to respond in their school communities the next day. So I would say that what's happened over the past year is that we've just become more nimble and
isn't that interesting?
Able to respond quicker.
Yeah, and, you know, you guys are always making changes and all that. We're going to talk about your magazine in a second, okay? You guys are always making changes, but I like that word, make us more nimble, okay? We were taking things for granted, doing new things, trying to be somewhat innovative, et cetera, prior to the pandemic. But when the pandemic hit, okay, suddenly everybody realized that's a great line. We had to be nimble and make the changes
yep.
that were necessary. That's a great way to put that. Suddenly there were changes in the midst that we all knew were needed, but they were kind of in the back of our minds, okay? And boom, all of a sudden, it just mattered. And, you know, Andy, I want to ask you, I'm going to segue, and remind me, Kaylin, I want to talk about your award for your magazine before we're done here. We got plenty of time. But I want to ask Andy something. Andy, all right, you said something about assistant principals earlier. And then I have a note here about beginning principals, all right? And this is one hell of a time to be a beginning principal, all right? And just talk about what it's been like the last year and a half being a principal of an elementary school.
Yeah, and as a new principal walking into this, there's so much you don't know already. And then
yeah.
you add to the fact that all of your mentors around you don't know anything
yeah.
either. You know, so
yeah, all of a sudden,
in a lot of ways,
yeah.
we were all a brand new principal in some cases this year. And again, more reason to rely on each other. But the unknown is really what happened. There's constant change and constant I had to have a new skill. I found a new skill this year, which was being more comfortable with the unknown, being more uncomfortable with not knowing exactly how this is all going to play out. Normally, we try to plan and organize and be thorough with, like, one-year, five-year, three-year plans. But right now, we were in a day-to-day plan. And every time we made a plan, something would change at the state level, the national level, or local level with
yeah.
health that would change that plan completely. So everything that you thought was the rule would then change the next day, and you'd have to be very quick on your feet, and you'd have to work together very fast. So exactly like Kaylin said about being nimble, we learn new tools to collaborate together as principals on a very timely and speedy basis so that we could work together on these issues. Because as a local school principal, I can't just do anything on my own. I have to work with the school district and the
sure.
state to make sure that all my actions are aligned. And so knowing what those are supposed to be is like 90% of it. So really coming together every single time there's a change. And then trying to communicate that to your community. And your community has a lot of different thoughts and feelings on these issues. So trying to be very transparent and being clear with the direction that we're going. And then when things change, being, again, clear with why they changed and then
yep,
what
so
steps
hard.
Need to be taken.
It's so hard to do, which brings me back to Gracie. Gracie, you're the Associate Executive Director for Professional Learning, okay, at NAESP, all right? What was your world
yes.
like this year? And, you know, because you had plans 18 months ago, oh, we'll do this, and suddenly the whole world changed. And the needs of professional learning changed, too, in terms of networking, in terms of Zoom meetings, in terms of subject matter. Okay, as you looked at the year, how did it affect the professional learning side of the NAESP?
Well, Kaylin's word is nimble, and my word is pivot. We really had to do that, Larry, because all of our professional learning was face-to-face. So now we have all of
wow.
our professional learning
wow.
online. I was able to work with our trainers and our mentoring national mentor certification and in our pre-K 3 Leadership Academy and our national
aspiring Principals Academy, NAPA, everything went completely online. And so now we're ready to come back with some face-to-face, but we're going to keep all of our mentoring, national mentor certification training online, because what we found, there were principals across the nation who couldn't get to Alexandria, Virginia for training or couldn't make a regional training. So we really trained, as we trained the same amount of principals, if not more. I think we even trained more last year.
I bet you did,
Larry,
because
we were able to accommodate their needs better in a virtual world.
The pandemic, and it's a horror show, 600,000 people dead, families destroyed. Don't get me started on that. But amazingly, okay, there were nuggets of good things that came out of it if we deal with the changes over a long period of time. Okay, and one of them is that, quote, you're now able, okay, there was a change, a pivot, you called it. You were nimble, if I may, all right? And therefore, okay, you were able to get even more principals involved, all right? And it's really something, and as principals get together, they realize whether you're in South Dakota, Virginia, or New Mexico, you kind of have the same problems, okay? And you don't have to reinvent the wheel, okay? And that's why this is key stuff. I want to talk about equity, but I want to ask Kaylin something. Kaylin runs the magazine, which is called Principal Magazine. We publish a magazine, as you know. Okay, it's a fun job. You're editor-in-chief. Kaylin, you made some changes. You won an award. Talk about that. Talk about your magazine.
Well, Principal Magazine, it's a nice historical moment that coincides with our 100th anniversary. Because we just won an award for our redesign. We redesigned the magazine to celebrate our 100th anniversary, and so it just is so nice to be recognized with for one of our most traditional mainstay publications, but yet we're still able to make it new. And our members and principals across the nation still find value in it. So that really is very exciting for us. We also got an award for an offshoot, if you will, of Principal Magazine that we call Leading Lessons, that kind of takes the learning that you get from the magazine and makes it into a practical tool for staff development. And we won an award for that for our issues on social and emotional learning. So it's
important
to get recognized for the mainstay and then also for the new kid on the block. So we're just really excited and proud.
Congratulations. Is the magazine online or is it in print or both?
Both. Probably a decade ago, people were talking about print going away. Print is not going away. People still want to get something tangible, but they want it online too. So we do it both ways, and you can find it on nesp.org.
Excellent. Okay, there you have it, everybody. Principal Magazine. I want to talk about the thing, and you just mentioned one of them, okay? This year showed us the need about equity. It brought that to the forefront. As you know, here we're the American Consortium for Equity in Education. We publish our own magazine, as you know, which is online, okay, over at ace-ed.org. All right, if I may shamelessly do a plug for that. All right, and but we're very concerned about equity, okay. Andy, I'm going to let you talk first about this, but I know every principal is concerned about this because there were a lot of things that showed we've got challenges in that area. Andy, when I say the word equity to you, all right, and we're going to talk about social emotional too, but when I say the word equity to you as a, what'd you learn in the last year?
Yeah, it's a great question. Equity is something we've been talking about before, but of course right now it's just glaring the different needs that kids had. Equity to me is exactly what that is what can we do to support and provide more access or more instruction, more remediation for kids based on what they need and where they are, and so they can all succeed and be successful. And so what we found is, one, the home support was drastically different across schools, and even within the same school, you'd have completely different levels of home support. And that doesn't necessarily align with income levels either. Even at the same income level, you could have completely different levels of home support based on parents working or parents just investment or whatever that may be. And so we tried as much as we could to go into the homes. So with Zoom and all these different programs where you can get in on with like video conferencing and all that, we would have so many more parent meetings where parents don't even have to come into school. And we would provide access at home with computers and one-to-one. I mean, we were talking about one-to-one for a long time. I've been a principal for a long time. We've been talking about one-to-one. We never thought it would happen. Really? Yeah. Now, in 1 year, the whole country went one-to-one. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. Not only did we go one-to-one, we added video conferencing and all these emails. Our kids now have I have, like, little elementary kids emailing me all the time. And, like, they're, like, video conferencing me. And, you know, what the skills they have now on sharing files, saving files, all those things, it's pretty remarkable in 1 year. And I got to give credit to our teachers because you talk about a pivot. I mean, they were learning on the fly. And teachers that was like, they always say, I'm not good with technology. There is no teacher that can say that this year. They are remarkable with technology. And so just getting into the homes and getting all these kids access to then reciprocate from the homes back to us was one of our very number one priorities. And that's not going to change. That has revolutionized education. And that level of support, I think, will be going forward for a long time.
I hope so. And you mentioned something else as you're going into the homes, parent involvement, okay? I'm going to say it in a funny way, and you answer it. Good or bad, okay? How's so much more, it's probably good, parent involvement working out?
Oh, good. I love parents. I love working with parents. I any type of parent involvement is good for me. You don't have to always like everything we do, but you being involved and giving input and feedback is so critical, helping your child at home, because it is a true partnership and team effort between the parents and the child and the school. And so the more, the better. And what we're finding now is parents actually were so supportive because they could literally see the teaching going on at home.
Yes.
And they were like, man, I didn't know all these things you did. And the other thing, and I'm a parent, and so I knew at home, it's really hard to work and do all this with education with your child. So most of our parents are like, oh, please just take them back. Like, I don't know how you all do this. I appreciate you even more now. Like, and so them seeing firsthand the great work the teachers are doing, again, really changed a lot of people's mindset about what education is.
It was the joke at the beginning of the pandemic that all of a sudden most parents in America realized, geez, maybe it isn't the teacher.
that's 100% right. There are some parents that told me, yeah, that's my kid. Okay, it's my kid. I see it now.
It's really good. Actually, it's an equity thing because a lot of parents don't have the time to be in contact, okay, with the teacher like they should be. This allowed it a little bit more, okay, because we brought the education home, and it eliminated this particular exchange. What did you do in school today, honey? Nothing.
Absolutely.
Does something at school every day, which was my answer for all these years. It's absolutely incredible. And, well, I'll stick with Andy, then I want to segue it over to Gracie. But, Andy, what Caitlin brought up a few minutes ago was social-emotional learning, which has to do a lot with equity and has a lot to do with learning, all right? And it just became – everybody's been doing it for years, but suddenly it became especially important. From the principal's point of view, SEL, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, finally we're getting an opportunity to balance the scale of academics and social-emotional support. Our real goal in public education, education in general, is to get these kids ready for life, for success as adults, for citizenship and working together as adults. And yet we're so focused on academics that sometimes we get blinded by the needs that our kids have right in front of us. And this year, those blinders, our eyes were open, wide open to those social-emotional needs that some kids have more than others. And so really trying to implement new strategies and programs that are just as focused as a reading intervention is critical. And that is something schools are talking about a lot. And you have to – if your whole schedule – if there's nothing on your schedule that gets into behavioral instruction or social support or work on social skills, if there's nothing on your schedule, that means you don't care enough about it. It has to be on your schedule if you really care about it. If all you see is academic subjects, then you really need to consider, are you teaching the whole child or are you just teaching the academic side of it? And don't get me wrong, academic sides are extremely important. But there's more to what we do than just the ABCs. And I think this just really reminded us about that, and it made people really rethink sort of the big picture about what we're trying to accomplish.
Well, you know, the holistic side, you know, we used to just teach what we used to call the basics, reading, writing, arithmetic, the three R's.
Yeah.
And I always like to remind people that in actuality, only one of them begins with an R.
That's right.
Okay, so we had to get away from that. All right? You're right. We got to teach them what they need to know academically, but also social and emotionally. And Gracie, let me go back to you. This fellow in principles in a great deal, okay, in terms of social, emotional, and learning. How did the professional learning subjects change over the past year? You know, what did they need? You had other things planned out. All of a sudden, you had other things take priority. And you're Associate Executive Director of Professional Learning for NAESP. Okay, so how did all this affect you?
Well, I think what was interesting, Larry, I think Dr. Frank did such a smart thing at the very beginning of COVID. He created a task force, and it was made up of our members nationally that were part of the task force. So we heard firsthand what principals were asking for. And Kaylin had mentioned principling in place. That's how that whole idea came into motion and play. In fact, Andy was one of the facilitators of that weekly Thursday night webinar. And we just tried to listen carefully and then pick topics that we knew principals were stressed about, worried about, needed more information about, or more resources for, that they needed now. And that was a great forum for that. But we did other things. We had principals, and we partnered with AASA, the Superintendents Association. And on Monday nights, we had what we called Live at 5, where we had essentially a big panel of superintendents, and people could put their questions in the chat box. They could email them in ahead of time, and we tried to answer in live time for people what they were concerned about, whether they were a principal calling in for some help or superintendents. So we really used our membership well, and that led to, you've mentioned equity, that led to the formation of our Equity and Diversity Task Force, which Kaylin,
we'll segue over to that. And by the way, everybody, that Dr. Franks, that Gracie just mentioned, is Earl Franks, who was the executive director of NAESP. Okay, Kaylin, nice segue there. Go ahead.
Shout out to Earl, who's probably listening.
Hi, Earl. I just waved hello.
But yes, the Race and Equity Task Force, the other bookend to this pandemic. So really, a lot of our communities were facing big challenges in terms of this shift in the everyday life of the pandemic, but also with, you know, social justice and racial equity coming into sharper focus this year. We really did our best to stretch ourselves to address those needs about equity. And I know we talked about this before, Larry, and that's what your organization is all about, is school equity. And so, you know, the first thing we focused on was implicit bias. So really looking at ourselves and our thought patterns and how that impacts our leadership.
And I remember you guys had some kind – I took that test. You guys had some kind of test available.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was an implicit association test, and they have them on race, but they also have them on other demographics like gender and other things too. But we were focused on race. Then we shifted to what it means to do an equity audit, and I think that's where we still are. Mm-hmm. A lot of schools are and districts are way ahead. I can think of a couple in terms of having these regular equity conversations and really thinking about equity from a holistic perspective. But there's mm-hmm. a whole lot of principals out there, a whole lot of districts who aren't there yet. And equity still feels like an add-on, like something mm-hmm. like a side dish to what we need to do. And really we need to get to the point where it's this question of equity is integrated into every conversation that we have, that it's not an add-on. Because you know what happens to add-ons?
They fall off the earth? Yeah, they sure do. Okay. And yet, you know, what you say is accurate. And as I talk to school districts on the podcast all over the country, they're all moving. They're trying to in the right direction. All right, and they seem to want to do this because most people get into education to teach every kid, okay? And you know, the pandemic just helped us by opening up some wounds, but wounds can be healed, all right? And we're moving forward in that direction. It has to be top of the line so that every kid is able to succeed. Otherwise, we just waste kids. We waste the future. We need a workforce out there. All right, and it has to be a good one. And so all this put together, okay, is just making sense. You know, I just realized, Andy, your last name is Jacks, J-A-C-K-S, right?
Yes, yes.
And Earl's last name is Franks, F-R-A-N-K-S. And I wonder if to be a senior fellow, your last name has to be like the male first name. Is there any rule about that? We got
not officially. No, not officially. Absolutely not. And shout out to Dr. Franks. He is the man. He is, has such a good
right now.
Vision.
He's laughing. The trumpeter. He's laughing.
Okay. No, he's great. He's been so supportive. His vision
wonderful.
On creating new centers and new committees and really responding to the needs of our principals out there, what they're asking for, what they're looking for. And so much of this last year, and that's the one thing that's been really cool about NESP this year is not only were we in the middle of the pandemic, we put together so many new programs that principals have just jumped on, everything from the Innovative
yep.
Principals Circle to the Women in Leadership Sister Circle to middle school principals write advice and articles, and our equity committee jumped in with that. There's so many different things that we added this year despite the challenges we had. And what that really showed you was NESP's ability to connect leaders in real
yep.
time based on what they need, and you could tell they really needed it this year.
They really and truly did. And by the way, I want to say this. The reason the organization, and it was always running well, it runs so smoothly, Earl was a band director. And if you want to try to herd cats, okay, look at what a band director has to do, okay? And to organize something like that, think about that. And he took those skills, and now he's the executive director of it, NAESP, and he's a great guy, Dr. Earl Franks. He truly is. We got to go. You three were just terrific, and I wish you a great trip to Chicago.
Thank you.
Can't wait.
Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. I used to live there, and it's a little offbeat. I don't know whether you'll have time. There's a million restaurants. But we always say, me and my buddies, that the best ribs are at the Twin Anchors. That's Cincinnati. In Chicago, the best ribs, in our opinion, is at Twin Anchors, which is near north.
Okay.
It's an offbeat bar. Okay. It's a great restaurant, very popular. It's been there for 12 million years. Okay. And you'll love it. Okay. Where is the conference at the Hyatt Regency?
Yes.
Yep.
In downtown
right.
Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, it's a short cab ride. Short cab ride. It's near north. Okay? Twin Anchors.
Good.
If you
I wrote
get
that
a chance,
down.
You get a chance. And by the way, Caitlin, I want to say something to you. How long have you been in Austin now? You used to be up in Virginia.
You know,
let's hear.
Yeah. I've been, since the pandemic, I've been spending more time with family because we've been working remotely. So that's another bright spot.
Right, I want to tell you
that I've
known you for years. Your accent is getting more Austin every time we talk. I want you to know that. Right. Right.
Birds
so
of a feather. I'm back with my flock.
And I'm from Philadelphia originally, so we don't have an accent. So there you go. That's a joke.
Oh, yeah. You guys have an accent.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's a joke. All right. Anyway, Andy, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Great job, Aaron. Appreciate being here.
Great to have you. Kaylin, Gracie, good luck next week. Have a great time, all three of you, again, as I said, in Chicago. You take care. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Always a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. That's the Gracie, Andy, and Kaylin show. Okay, Gracie Branch, Kaylin Tucker at NAESP.org, and Andy is principal of Ashland Elementary, which I bet is a pretty good school, in Manassas, Virginia. All right. The NAESP.org for pre-K to 8 principals and assistant principals and aspiring principals. All right. And please check it. If you can get there in Chicago, it'll be great. Okay. It starts in a couple of weeks. All right. But keep an eye on NAESP, read their magazine, et cetera. It's all good stuff. We work with them quite closely. All right. We'll archive the show at ace-ed.org. ace-ed.org. That's our organization. You'll see our magazine, Equity and Access, over there. Everything's free. We'd love you to join with us. Get your voice heard. We believe in teacher voice, educator voice, and industry voice. You want to get your word out there? You're welcome to do it with us. ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.